There's this opportunity sort of right in front of us. There's definitely leaving money on the table. At the same time, sure, I am in a steady job.
It's both exciting and it's also really scary. And sometimes we get really excited, but then there are moments where I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a terrible idea. What are we doing? What are we thinking?
One of the biggest mistakes I made when I first quit my job. This is a very critical moment here. Listen to this. I need you to hear this, Jenny. This is marriage advice now. Ready?
Oh, thank you for the therapy.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. So Jenny, John, I'm so excited to chat with you today. But before we dive into this whole conversation around John, you potentially quitting your job, diving into the business full time, helping Jenny out, give us some context. Talk a little bit about what your business is, some of the revenue streams that you have right now, and why you guys are even having this conversation right now.
I was at Google for 18 years, grew from entry level to executive there. And then I left just over a year ago to launch this book, Wild Courage, Go After What You Want and Get It, which covers 9 traits: weird, selfish, shameless, nosy, obsessed, manipulative, brutal, reckless, and bossy, and using those 9 traits in a savvy, insane way to supercharge your success. So it is going surprisingly well. I am exceeding my revenue goals this year by about 5x and realize that.
Let's go.
So about 50% of the revenue is one-on-one coaching, which, by the way, was a revenue stream I never expected to have and fell into it a little bit. And then 50% is keynote speaking. All along, I said that 10% of my revenue would be brand deals, but I never took any action on it. So I feel like I'm sitting on opportunity and it takes time, right? And I have been much busier than I expected this year with inbound revenue and prospects that I just haven't had the time to look into it. And then I took the 10K challenge with you and I was like, mind blown. Why am I not doing this? And it was so much fun. And so, and then also you talking about you and April working together, I was like, John needs to quit his job and come leave partnerships for me.
Well, first of all, congratulations on finally taking the plunge. I can't imagine that was an easy decision. But John, I'm curious from your perspective, you've been obviously seeing all the amazing things that have been happening in the trajectory for the business, but you still have a 9-to-5 job, right? And you are, I would imagine, in a totally different career, different industry. And so what even spurred this idea of you to quit that, and obviously there's stability associated with that career, right? That maybe Jenny doesn't have. Obviously things are going great now, but like maybe it's a roller coaster, who knows? It's like now all your eggs are in one basket. So like what, even knowing that, why would you want to pursue this?
I think first of all, my stepdad has said this for a long time, never bet against Jenny. And I totally feel the same way. So I'm fully confident that, you know, whatever she's focused on will be a success. And now she's fully focused on this amazing business that she built. So, you know, I want to be part of that. It's super exciting. I know that she and her team can't do everything that they want to do, and they're definitely leaving money on the table. So sort of felt a little bit organic in that, you know, there's this opportunity sort of right in front of us. At the same time, sure, I am in a steady job. I'm in a nonprofit organization, which is great, feels good a lot of the time, having nice impact, great relationships, and at the same time is somewhat limiting for me and for us because there's not as much vacation time or flexibility as an entrepreneur might have. If we were on the same page and in the same industry, sort of in the same flow, I think that to me feels like we could come together, be more present for ourselves and for our family in some ways. That's part of the reason.
And yet we're stuck
yeah.
because
yeah.
like there's right. pros and cons. And so we're excited, yeah. but also kind of terrified about what it would look like to work together in like yeah. classic Jenny
also
style.
True.
I wrote out
yeah.
an entire pro and con list of all different dimensions, career pros and cons, freedom pros and cons, financial pros and cons, business pros and cons. I'm literally looking at the list right now. We went out to dinner and we spent like 4 hours going through this list. So, you know, it's both exciting and feels like we want to take this step, or John, you know, wants to quit and do this, but it's also really scary. And sometimes we get really excited. Like right now it feels exciting, but then there are moments where I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a terrible idea. What are we doing? What are we thinking?
I'll never forget when I was considering leaving my job. So April, my wife, quit in 2012 to pursue YouTube and her kind of social media career. But again, I kept my job. I was in medical devices, so kind of the stable career with the health benefits and all that. But when I was considering leaving that job a couple years later, I distinctly remember this conversation with some family members where they were so concerned about the gap in my career trajectory. It was like, okay, right. well, what if you leave and then it doesn't work out and you have to go back? How are you going to explain this like 2-year gap on your resume? And I'd be like, I'm going to be honest. I was like working with my wife and I was doing this. So I feel like there was a lot of moments like that when I was talking with other people in my life, trying to kind of rationalize this decision, where a lot of people, I think, tend to make decisions from a place of fear in life. And I think where it sounds like you're at is like, okay, what's the most abundant version of this decision? What if it goes amazing? In fact, I think that that for us was like the big catalyst to make the decision, because I thought, okay, if I could sink my teeth into our thing, the thing that we're building equity in, rather than building equity in someone else's thing, like if I could spend 60 hours, 40 hours a week, whatever it is, in our thing, where could that take the business? Where could that take our family? And so it was as much about an opportunity cost conversation, I think, as it was about what we were going to be giving up. And so given that there is like tremendous wind in the business's sales right now, I think that your intuition is right, that like, you know, 1 + 1 = 3 is going to be the dynamic if you took the plunge.
The whole premise of my work, Wild Courage, is that Wild Courage is pushing past 3 fears: fear of uncertainty, fear of failure, and fear of judgment by others. That's exactly what you were going through when you decided to leave and work with April, I'm assuming, right? People saying things like, but what if it doesn't work? How do you explain the gap in your resume, right? It's like fear of failure, fear of uncertainty, fear of judgment by others. But also, like, John's learning an entirely new skill by learning, you know, sponsorships and brand deals. I'm actually pretty excited that if it doesn't work out, and to be clear, it might not work out, but it's going to teach him a new skill where you could go work in-house for a brand, and you will be so valuable because you will have seen it from the other side. And I think that's one of like the best hires a company can make, is when someone used to be their customer or their client, and then they then work on the other side. So I think it actually is almost opening up a whole new industry for you, or career path for you.
Okay, so let me give you a quick story or anecdote of one of the biggest mistakes I made when I first quit my job, which was that, again, our stories are quite similar in that, you know, my wife was kind of the talent. She was growing the business, and I came in, historically was kind of behind the camera helping her out in the background, but I was not the person in front of the camera, basically, or in front of the microphone. And the very first thing that I did when I quit my job was I basically kicked the door down and I was like, all right, I'm ready to justify the fact that I quit. Let me just get involved in everything, because now I can focus on this. And here you are, Jenny, being like, hold on a second here. I was used to setting up my microphone, my lights for my podcast, all this stuff by myself. I don't want you in this room. Go over there and like do something else. Yeah. And so that's the first caution I would give you, is that, and you also need to hear this, Jenny, which is that you have built up a routine over the last year, 2 years or whatever, prior to the book launch, and now having done the speaking circuit and all that, where you're kind of doing it on your own, I would imagine. I guess the first piece of advice that I would give y'all is that really sitting and thinking about what y'all's strengths are, especially with the business stuff, and letting that happen. So if the creative stuff is really what Jenny is best at, John, just don't even go there. Like, unless she asks explicitly for your help, you do not need to involve yourself in things in the business just because you're full time now. I think it's really listening to what she says she needs help with. By the same token, though, Jenny, I think another thing you need to hear, which is that there are going to be potentially some strengths that John discovers in the course of starting to work with you that may not be on your brainstorm list right now. And you need to be open to being like, maybe John could help me a bit with the pre-call for my speaking engagements or something, blah, 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 right? So I know that brand partnerships is really what you're thinking about right now, is like, that's like a neat little slot. That's an incremental responsibility that doesn't exist now, but like there are other areas of the core business he might be able to provide value.
Definitely. This is something we're thinking about, because I'm not sure that there's enough work to do. Like, it's definitely not a full-time job, but I think there's maybe like a couple hours of work to do each week on brand deals. But that actually is one of my fears. Like, is it substantial enough? And then if we get to the stuff that's not this neat carve out of director of brand deals or whatever we would call you if we do it,
right,
you know, then how does that overlap with what I'm doing or what Carline is doing? Also, like, is there even enough revenue opportunity on brand deals, right? I'm not a YouTuber. I'm not on Instagram. I'm LinkedIn and newsletter. I have 67,000 people on my newsletter, 101,000 people on LinkedIn, you know, followers. And it's a bit of an untraditional brand sponsorship play than the typical. So I don't even know what this is going to look like. And then if there isn't enough interesting work there, it's like, what do you, you know, there's a lot of things we could pivot you to, but then we're getting with like division of labor and how we work out what we carve out from my current chief of staff, from my copy editors, from my designers and things like that.
Hey, just a quick heads up. My in-person event, Sponsor Games, is happening March 15th to the 18th, 2026 in San Antonio, Texas. It's the only event in the world where you can practice your sponsorship pitch, do real-time negotiation role play, connect with other creators landing 4- and 5-figure brand deals, and potentially win our cash grand prize. Here's what Doc Williams had to say about where his business was at before attending Sponsor Games.
I just felt defeated. I didn't know how to talk to brands confidently. I hadn't closed any long-term deal, and I felt disillusioned. I was like, I don't think I can really make money on sponsors, but if I can win the games, I can make money off of that. And then going out, I was like, this feels sustainable. This feels like I can actually do this with my business long-term.
Any big wins that you can share after the event?
I mean, pretty much all my deals. Like, afterwards, I was like, we've done multiple 15K deals, and friends of mine, when I told them about, like, you just have to do this, my friend, he's always complaining, no one hits him up, blah, 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 blah. He'd never made more than $500 from a sponsor. I was like, just do this method. I was like, read this. And he closed him at 35K for 6 events. He's a local creator in a small town. And it was just because of that one thing in the bio.
So if you want to have the same transformation that Doc and his friend had, go to sponsorgames.com to grab your ticket. We're capping it at 75 creators this year. And actually, I forgot to tell you the craziest part. Every single meal is catered. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks. We're basically blowing a huge chunk of the budget on amazing food. So what are you even waiting for? Go to sponsorgames.com to grab your spot.
Just as you kind of know already, Jenny's a very good communicator. And that is, I think, super helpful, like to your first point around her letting me know what she needs or what she really doesn't need right now. And I think that's great. That gives me a lot of direction. I have to be okay with following that direction, but also to your second point, pushing back where it's like, well, you know what, that idea, maybe it's not so great to have brand X sponsor the newsletter or whatever it might be.
Which you have pushed back on. Right?
Yeah, that actually did happen already a little bit.
Right, and we got into a fight.
Yeah, which I thought was great.
And I got really nervous. I was like, you should have quit your job.
Jenny got nervous, and I was like, this is good.
Okay, let's hear about the fight.
We have our first sponsorship deal coming through. We have all the copy drafted. So they're paying $6,000 for one newsletter where I'm talking a lot about the brand and like how I use the brand. And then I think it's maybe 2 or 3 more newsletters where we just do like a box at the top and a mention, and 3 LinkedIn posts. And then maybe 2 Instagram things. So I don't know. I don't even know if it's a good deal or a bad deal. This is my first one ever.
And you pitched them during the challenge, right?
I pitched them during the challenge. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So I have pitched one brand and I have landed one brand deal for $6,000. I have 100% track record. Where's your money gun?
Yeah, I know. Oh, wait, hold on. I'm going to do it. Let's go.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I have it ready right next to me at all times. Don't worry.
Okay. And then we were in the kitchen after the kids went to bed one night and John was like, is this even a good brand for you? You talk about, Justin, it being win, win, win. It has to be a win for me, right? That's money. It has to be a win for them. They get exposure, but it has to be a win for my audience. And maybe your questions were around, is it a win for me and the audience? Because it is basically an AI platform that summarizes books. And with all the, you know, lawsuits right now with Anthropic and who's stealing books and who's, and I'm not saying like, they're silly books. I have no idea. Basically, John, you were like, is it cannibalizing people buying your book? And do you want to be associated with a brand that is summarizing books when your business is selling your book? And I thought it was really interesting. And I got like defensive and
also I'm biased toward like not eroding the trust of the audience.
Oh, it was that. It was more that actually.
So I was thinking like, like I really want to like preserve the quality of the newsletter. And also like you're so authentic as an author and as a brand now. So how do we make sure we don't like fully negate that, go against that? We want to continue to build that because also that feels like such a competitive advantage in a lot of ways and that and actually pretty unique in the space. I mean, I'm not fluent or expert in this space yet, but it feels like a unique offer.
I think it was like the base fear that I would guess most people who don't want to do brand sponsorships have, Justin, which is we're hurting the trust of the audience and like, is this aligned? And I kind of got over those fears when I was doing the 10K challenge because I got so pumped about it and was ready to run through a brick wall. But I think maybe John, you still are on that journey of like, what if it's awkward or what if they unsubscribe or what if they don't like you or trust you? Like, I love what Jay Klaus says about charging the trust battery or draining the trust battery. battery. And I still do agree, like, this will be a trust battery drainer. And then it, you know, comes down to, well, which brands do we pick? And I was thinking about the episode you did with Nir Eyal, our friend, where you were encouraging Nir to start asking his audience some questions in the newsletter. And so we then put a PS in the newsletter that asked, are you a parent? And I thought it was going to be like 50-50, Justin. I think it was 83% parents. And I was like, mind blown.
I want to challenge one thing that you said, which is that you just like kind of mentioned this as like a foregone conclusion that this deal that you're doing is a battery drainer or a trust battery drainer. Number one, that should be a proactive lens that you view any opportunity through. So like, if you do think, then you got to like think twice about doing the deal. But also at the same time, you have another lever here, which is the way in which you talk about the brand or the product. So yeah, on the surface, you could see like the whole premise of the brand, the product, that's like one lens. But then the second one is like, okay, yeah, I know you might be thinking, you could literally proactively overcome the objection. I know you might be thinking like, is this really like, I'm an author. Like, why would I promote this type of thing? Because I want people to read my books and blah, 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 blah. Where you're literally thinking what the readers of your newsletter is thinking and you address it. Because I know that we talked about this over WhatsApp, like there's a way in which you actually talk about the elephant in the room. And so I think that there's like, don't just assume that like all sponsorships are going to be a depleting activity. Because like you said, there's ways in which you could do this integration or this partnership where it feels additive to the relationship rather than a detraction. The other thing I really want to make sure we address this now that we've talked about the fight and what that was. The biggest danger is lines being blurred with your marriage.
I worry about
in my experience, because like now when you're working together and it's a business thing, you basically never, at least with my wife and I, it's like you just never stop talking about work. Like there's no lines being blurred. You're coming home at the end of the day. No, it's just like now it's like, oh, did you see that email from this company? Or do you see it, you know, laying in bed at night or you're on vacation? Or it's just like it never ends. You really do have to be very intentional about setting boundaries, I think, in terms of when you can and can't talk about this and just like having that discussion.
There's still some things that are harder to navigate because as the female primary breadwinner, it's just different. So for example, let's say there's not a ton of work to do on the brand deals, right? Or not enough to satisfy John's curiosity or like whatever, to make it meaty enough. There are endless menial tasks, Justin. Endless menial tasks. I have 2,000 connections on LinkedIn from the last few weeks that someone needs to respond to. We need to cut the data. Like there's just all this like busy work, but I feel like it's beneath John simply because he's a man. I actually don't even know.
Hold on, stop. John, is it beneath you?
No. In fact, I've told Jenny proactively and reactively that I'm happy to do the things that she mentioned just now. And I also feel like I know that, you know, it's part of the bigger picture. So if it allows Jenny's chief of staff to do a thing that they haven't been able to do because of this blocker or this thing on the list, great. You know, I know that it's like, it will at least, if not directly, indirectly be a revenue driver.
Okay. This is a very critical moment here.
Yeah.
Listen to this. I need you to hear this, Jenny. Both of you. I think it's important. This is marriage advice now. Ready?
Oh, thank you for the therapy.
Yeah, you're welcome. Just because you think it would be beneath you, you can't assume that your partner thinks that something will be beneath them. Or you can't just assume that, well, of course he must be thinking this, or of course she must be thinking this because that's how I would interpret the situation. So the caution here for you, Jenny, I think, is that it will be very easy for you to start building resentment because you think everything is on you.
So it's like,
it's all on me. I'm the breadwinner now. I'm the talent. I'm the one who has to go and do the speaking. The business succeeds or fails on my shoulders. John is just a weight around my neck now because it's like even higher risk now because all the eggs are in the basket. This is a very, very important. And it's been a challenge for me and April throughout our relationship as well. And, you know, I think it's just like important to be honest about this like reality, which is just like, yeah, all the eggs are in the one basket now. But here's the counterpoint to this risk or this fear is that when you look at a 9-to-5 job, like your current job, John, a lot of people think that that's the stable path, right? Mm-hmm. You've got the 9-to-5, you got the medical benefits, whatever, whatever. But like when you're fired, your only income stream goes to zero. Mm-hmm. When you have your own business, and you start building diverse revenue streams. We've got the speaking now. We've got the one-on-one coaching. You're growing the brand deal revenue business. Maybe there's another revenue stream we haven't even considered yet.
I'll launch a course or
right?
a community at some point.
Yeah,
for sure.
a course, a community. Yeah. There's going to be other things to do in the business. If one of those things goes to zero, you have four or five other lines of revenue to fall back on. And so I actually think from a family perspective and an income diversification perspective as a family, it is actually a safer move to bet on yourself to add additional revenue streams that you control fully, where you're not at the whim of an employer and that's your only revenue stream. And so that's always been my answer when people are trying to decide whether to quit or not and whether to work with their partners. I actually think it's more within your control.
And I know this logically. It's the same thing to me when you said that, Justin, as when I led really big teams at Google. We would deal all the time with things like dynamics, like someone going on maternity leave. And I was so mindful of like, don't stop giving her work 3 months before maternity leave because you assume that she's too uncomfortable or too tired to take on this project. Like that is just a disservice to that woman who's not yet on maternity leave. No, give her the project, let her say no, but don't assume. And I think to me, that's like what it seems exactly like. And I know that really well from in like a corporate leadership space, it just feels really, really different thinking about leading you, my husband.
Yeah. The other thing too, that I think is really important to acknowledge is that like you may discover something 5 years into this, 10 years into it, that is like becomes your own thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Where
sure.
It's like, look what happened to me. Like I helped my wife for years then based on what I learned, I launched an influencer marketing agency. Now I have this freaking book and I have this whole other business where everything that I learned from what I was doing with my wife, I now have this other career and now April's able to slow down and she's not really. And so like, just don't assume.
I mean, Jenny won't be able to slow down, but
but
I like what you're saying.
I mean like, imagine that you can't assume that this is the dynamic that's always going to be the case. If you quit, like there may be a whole other path that opens up in 5-10 years that you just can't even anticipate right now. Let me just acknowledge like the elephant in the room or what I'm sensing, which is just like when you talk about the most exciting parts of this, y'all light up. You light up. It's like, of course that there are, it's scary, right? Yeah. Like you're, it's a big shift. It's a big change. It's a difference in your relationship and the business. It's like, there's so many things changing, but like all the amazing things that this could unlock for you and your family. I always come back to this as like, we have one life. I never want to look back on something in 30 years and be like, what if John would have like quit his job like a year after Jenny launched her book and there was all this momentum? Like where would our family be now? I never want to have that feeling. And like, dude, like you said, you could always get another job. Yeah, I know the economy is shaky, but like, you know, if that's really what would need to happen in a year or two and this didn't work out, fine, go back and get another job. Like, it's not the end of the world. But I just feel like there's so many other positive benefits that could come from kind of like betting on yourself. I always will be the person to kind of tell people to bet on themselves. By the way, if you came to me and said you were in a really precarious financial situation right now where there was unpredictability of revenue and it was up and down, I get some speaking things here and there. That coaching is like unstable, this would be a very different conversation. I would be like, John, keep the job, dude. Like right now is not the right time to like, you know, make this jump. But that's not the trajectory you're on right now. One thing that I think is like another really important thing to mention here is that April's and my revenue streams have swung wildly over the last 15 years.
Yeah.
So when I first quit my job in 2014, our income was 95% YouTube AdSense.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wow.
And 5% brand deal revenue. And so it was very much a different dynamic than it is today and has been over the years. We've had so many different things that we've done in terms of Amazon and affiliate marketing and brand deals and like so many different things over the years. And so that's another, I think, important thing to realize is that the two biggest revenue streams that you have for you right now with speaking and coaching, those could be 3% of your revenue in 5 years.
Yeah. It's hard to see that.
It's hard to see it. It's hard to see it, but like maybe it's the community. Maybe it's, you know, something. Maybe it's partnerships become, you know, brand deals, you know, become a much bigger part of the business once John focuses on it. So I just think that's like a really important thing to realize in entrepreneurship is that the most important skill to develop is agility and nimbleness and realizing that, you know, things are going to change. Like things are going to come at you. You're going to have to figure it out. And that's the only constant is change. It's very different from having a corporate job.
Trust me, the only constant in corporate jobs is also change.
Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point as well.
Constant reorgs. I mean, let me tell you about the keynotes I did this week, which were all about how to thrive and change with wild courage. Like it's not safe in corporate either or consistent.
Let me leave you with a very important piece of advice when it comes to working together and being married. The moment that something bothers you, the moment that something comes up is that you just say it. Do not build it and keep it and it builds up into resentment and then it becomes a big thing. If you can work on that muscle of just like saying the thing you're thinking to each other in the moment and not leaving the room until you say it, even if you know it's going to lead to a fight or lead to a disagreement, that's a much, much better and healthier dynamic when you're working together than the alternative. So yeah. I'm honestly, I'm so thrilled for both of you, because I feel like you guys have a very healthy dynamic in terms of being open to talk about this stuff. And I have no doubts that, like, if you take this plunge, like, good things are going to happen. So I'm excited for you.
Should we do
nice.
It?
Nice. Yeah, I'm excited. I think we should do it.
I think we're going to do it.
Let's go.
You heard it here first, folks. Right. Now we have to do it.